Well, we're on again with Dr. Travis Dorsch, and we're talking about your kids and really trying not to treat them like commodities in youth sports. And Travis, we want to, for this final lesson in this three-part series, we want to hear your story. And I think the reason for this is because your story is such a great example of how we can do this well, because we don't want parents to go away from this thinking, get my kids out of sports. That's not the point.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that was interesting, and I don't know if we're in an era now where this doesn't happen anymore. In the Norman Rockwell side of me would really hope that this is still happening today in youth sports. But I was a multi-sport athlete as a child growing up, like a lot of American kids growing up in the 80s and early 90s. I did soccer, I did basketball, I did baseball, I did football, ran some cross country and some track and field, and dabbled in other things as well. It seemed like every weekend, you know, mom and dad and I were driving around from one field to another, and we had three games and two practices, and at the end of the day, it was just mission completed as far as youth sports goes. I think what we're seeing today is the same fervor, the same energy, but we're seeing that sort of earmarked towards one single sport. We're seeing more specialization at earlier and earlier ages, because parents and families and maybe kids to a certain extent, and maybe coaches are driving this process, but they think that, look, I need to be elite now so I can get the coaching and the opportunity to be elite later. And the research actually tells us that's not the pathway, that most elite athletes were multi-sport athletes growing up. They did it all. They tried it all. They played with different teammates. They played for different coaches. And I was fortunate enough to have that be my pathway. And at the same time, as sports continued on, as I got better at a few different sports, I had various coaches coming from different angles saying, hey, you know, you really, kind of whispering in my ear, you know, you really should play this sport year-round. We'll make sure that you get that elusive college scholarship. You know, you can be a starter on our varsity team as a freshman, and, you know, wanting me to kind of make that transition to year-round, full-time, single-sport athlete. And this was in Southern California in the early 90s, and I think that transition hadn't yet made it, hadn't swept all the way across the country. And we made a family decision, and this was part of the reason, I think, that we made the family decision to move to Montana, where my mom was originally from. And so we picked up, we moved to Montana, and I was a bit of a bigger fish in a smaller pond at that point. And I was able to play four sports throughout high school and was able to ultimately go on and get that college scholarship that we've been talking about. And I don't think that would have happened had we stayed in Southern California and had I chosen one sport. Maybe I had chosen the wrong sport. You never know. So it was kind of that, you know, do we put all the eggs in one basket sort of a conversation we had. And for us, for our family, the answer was no.
And what was the mentality? I think this is really good for parents listening to this. What was the mentality that your parents had that was so freeing for you? That it wasn't a smothering mentality, but it was a mentality that freed you up to do your best at whatever sport you ended up picking.
Yeah, I think that's a really important piece of the conversation, because my parents were intimately involved. I mean, my dad was my coach for a lot of my sports. My mom was always there. I don't ever remember them missing a game. I mean, our family was a sports family by and large. And, you know, so they were very involved. And I think that's why we can't just sort of dichotomize involvement as over-involved versus under-involved, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of kids need different, you know, different things from their parents. For me, I loved having my parents there. It was never about them. They were never disappointed when something, you know, went wrong, or I didn't win, or I didn't succeed, quote unquote, succeed in sport. They loved me for my effort, for my energy, for my enthusiasm. I'll recall a quick anecdote. I remember when I was kicking, I was a place kicker at Purdue, and had the worst game of my career. I missed three field goals, and we ended up losing in overtime. And I remember walking out of the locker room to the team area by the bus, and you know, my dad, we made eye contact, and he just looked at me and said, "I love you, son." And I think for me, sorry, I'm kind of tearing up.
Aww.
For me, I think that was just like exactly what I needed. You know,
right.
he knew that I had my worst day as an athlete, maybe ever, and that I didn't need a critique, or, "Hey, here's what I saw you do wrong," or, "Hey, you'll get them next time." Kind of that fake, you know, cheer up. It was just, "I love you. Doesn't matter, you know, what kind of day you're having, I love you." And I think for parents, it's a really important message is, be there for your kids, love your kids, win or lose, and they will have an intrinsic passion and a love, you know, for the sport, and they'll want to show up and play well and do well for you, because as kids, we all love our parents, we all want to please our parents, we just don't want them, you know, to withhold love because they feel like we need to please them in sport. So it's kind of this catch-22. How do you be there enough, but not be overbearing. And I think my parents sort of, they matched that perfectly.
So what would you say to parents as far as, you know, how did your parents handle, or how would you suggest parents handle when the coaches start coming? You know, you're trying to keep things more relaxed. Now coaches are coming saying, hey, you've really got potential in this sport. Let's get you on this team. Like, how do parents manage that in a healthy way?
I think be informed, you know, you don't need to be, you don't need to go get a doctorate. You don't need to know the literature, you know, inside and out, but know the data, know that most elite athletes, most athletes who go on and earn college scholarships, most professional athletes were not people that chose that sport when they were 8 or 10 or even 12 years old. They were athletes who tried it all, who learned to move their body successfully in different arenas, who learned to play for different coaches and with different teammates, who took breaks from their primary sport and tried or sampled a secondary or tertiary sport. These are all things that parents, you know, should be armed with some of the data on this so they can tell that coach, you know, actually that's not the pathway that we're going to pursue. And sometimes that means negative consequences. I mean, I've talked to a number of parents who have tried to talk to these coaches about this very conversation, and the coach says, well, if they're not here, they're not going to play. Sometimes that can be hard. Sometimes the kid is going to argue with you. But as a parent, as a family, to make the decision that, you know what, that's not the path we're going to go down, maybe we need to find a different team. Maybe we need to find a different coach or a different league. To have the strength to go there can be difficult, but I think it's important because it's way better to not be on an elite team than it is to burn out or have an overuse injury and not be able to play on that team that you want to when you're 16 or 18, when it really does matter, when there really is now the time for investment to go earn that college scholarship.
Yeah, and I think that those are good words for parents with elite athletes, but I'm going to add something else to this conversation because some of you parents, you just need to look, you need to look at the, into the mirror and say, is my kid an elite athlete? And, you know, I'll say from our experience, Tracy and I, we have a 16-year-old son who's he's a really, really good basketball player, but I don't think he's a college, definitely not a Division I level basketball. He could probably get into a smaller school. But what we've said to him a couple of years ago, we said, AJ, we want you to play basketball if you enjoy it. We don't want you to feel pressure that everyone's putting on to, you know, everyone's just thinking they're going to go to college on a scholarship. We said, AJ, you're very intelligent. You are so gifted. He's a great student. He's so gifted in so many other ways. And we just freed him up. Parents, I encourage you to do the same thing. We said, if you want to play, go for it. We will support you. We will enjoy it. But if you don't want to play, we are 100% behind that. And he personally made the decision. He's going to play rec basketball, and he has enjoyed it immensely. And I think it's freed him up.
Yeah, I think in many cases, and that's, you know, earlier I mentioned, I think those are the kids actually, this might be the case with your son or not, but those are the kids that do go on, you know, and play. And whether he goes and plays in college or not, he's now going to love basketball probably his whole life. And, you know, until he's 48 and blows out his knee, he's probably going to be a twice a week basketball player. And that's great. These are the type of people that we want to develop in our society, are people that love sports, love moving their bodies. He'll go on and be a great coach and a great sport parent. You know, these are the types of lessons I think that I mentioned earlier that will be generative throughout generations. And I think that's a really important thing, is to, you know, think about what am I creating for the future? What am I creating, you know, after sport is done? What kind of human being am I helping to create as a parent?
So Travis, let's finish up this series. What's the kind of the main thing you would then tell parents to take away? What's a good question that they should make sure to ask each other on this topic?
I think it's important that parents and children communicate in sport, about sport, around sport. I think too often parents just make an assumption that whatever their goals are the same goals that their kids have in sport. You know, and we as parents have goals for our kids in everything, in their academic lives, in their social lives, and yes, in their sport lives too. But to the extent that we can encourage parents to communicate with their children, to ask their children, hey, what do you want to happen here, short term, long term? What are your goals, and most importantly, how can we as your parent or parents help facilitate that? How can we be there for you and also be out of the way at the same time? How can we facilitate? What kind of things do you need? Whether that is time, money, emotion, equipment, coaching, whatever it is. How can we support what you want to get out of this? Sometimes the answer is going to be, get out of the way and let me do it. And sometimes the answer is going to be, I need you there all the time, and I need this equipment, and I want to go to this tournament, and I need an off-season coach, right? But it needs to be child-driven. It needs to be communicated between parents and kids. And then secondly, and this is the step maybe that gets missed a lot of the time, is make sure that the team or league where your child is playing aligns with that goal set that you share now with your child, right? So don't if we have a goal set that we're going to have fun, you know, and enjoy the experience, don't go put them on a comp team that's going to travel and play 132 games a year, right? And if they want to go play in college, don't put them on the rec team that's going to practice once a week and play once a week for 6 weeks. So finding that mesh point of community, of organization, of family, of coach, and of athlete, I think is really, really important and something that I think a lot of people get wrong.
Well, Dr. Travis Dorsch, thank you for helping us with these three conversations. And parents listening to this, I encourage you, once again, use those questions down below. Have this conversation, and then have this conversation with your kids as well. We've got so much more to talk about. Check it out at flextalk.org/parenting.